Well, as we do every Thursday morning, we welcome in Russ Collins to the studios to talk Cinema Chat. And it's just about 7:51, so sitting to my left, your right, if you're looking at your radio this morning. I can't say dial anymore. Do people have dials on their radio anymore? But here is Mr. Russ Collins. Good morning, sir.
Patrick, good to share the air with you. Excellent job here. Well, yesterday was Orson Welles' 100th birthday. Of course, Orson Welles is no longer with us. But it is certainly, he is an American artist to celebrate. He was adored from his youth. In fact, when he was about 20, he published an anthology of Shakespeare plays and works. A rather ingenious and genius type of guy. Clearly, he, from a cinema standpoint, made a movie that ended up becoming very important, Citizen Kane. You know, when you look back on it, it just looks like an old black and white movie. But in the context, it was rather revolutionary. And he was a huge maverick. I think the best way to think of him in context is he was kind of the Quentin Tarantino of his generation. Quentin Tarantino was just a young guy, put a movie together that people really liked. And that was the case with Orson Welles.
And a radio guy, too, which makes him cool in my book, because he performed one of the greatest stunts in the history of radio that people still remember, the War of the Worlds.
Absolutely.
It was gigantic. And it proves the power of radio that people will believe just about anything they hear coming off the radio. And how many people missed that disclaimer at the front end that this was all a made-up story, but lots and lots of people complaining that they thought what he was saying was real.
That was back in 1939, and it did create quite a sensation that actually provided him the opportunity to move to Hollywood. He was a theater performer that worked with his Mercury Theater Group, who were also some of the folks that made Citizen Kane and some of his early films. But he ran into difficulties with studios and the production of The Magnificent Ambersons and The Lady from Shanghai and Touch of Evil, his last film that was done with studios back in 1958. But he was indeed a maverick. In fact, some would say he was the first American maverick. He was an independent cinema maker long before that was even thought of as a title. And a collection of his work as this maverick filmmaker is a resident at the University of Michigan. And we are very fortunate to have that work. And there's going to be a huge display of that work at the Graduate Library here in just a few weeks in association with
Cinematopia. The world, it's such a different world today that it's relatively easy, comparatively, certainly, to distribute films as an independent filmmaker these days. You know, everybody has a camera on their phone, everybody has the internet, and you can put something on YouTube or Vimeo, and then the whole world can see it. And you know, he was doing this in a day and age where Hollywood had an iron grip on anything that would hit where you could only see movies was at the Cineplexes.
Right. The cost of production was very high. Right. It wasn't quite like making a car, but it was similar in that, you know, it's really hard to make a car in your garage. And it was really hard to make a movie in your garage back in that day before the digital era.
And if you fought the establishment, you definitely paid the price. That's
absolutely
for sure.
And he fought it on several levels. So anyway, it's time to celebrate this this towering genius. He did some very interesting independent things. Chimes at Midnight was an extraordinary fusion of multiple Shakespeare plots that celebrated Shakespeare's penchant for dark characters. The Trial was an exploration of Joseph K., the Kafka novel, The Trial. And his pioneering work in multimedia formats, as you said, radio, television, long before there was an internet, was celebrated in linking all of these things together in very imaginative ways.
So he was the original king of all media.
He was kind of the king of all media in his era, absolutely. We'll look forward to doing a lot of his films, not Citizen Kane during Cinetopia, but F is for Fake, which is one of his last movies. You're going to see works that weren't finished. One of his works they're trying to put together and make a finished work out of it. You're not going to see that at Cinetopia, but you're going to see some of the excerpts from it. Really, really interesting stuff. Anyway, I had to mention Cinetopia, of course. It's coming up June 5th through 14th. Go check that out. But the Orson Welles seminar is going to be one of the very important features. I'm also very proud to announce that we have a unique and wonderful opportunity. We were selected by director Brad Bird, who has done lots of things. things, but probably best known as an animator that works for Pixar. And his movie Tomorrowland is coming out at the end of May. And on May 21st, before it hits theaters on May 22nd, the Michigan Theater will be doing a special screening, and it will be running the film for 2 weeks. As a result of Brad Bird being familiar with our reputation, being familiar with the fact that we're an operating movie palace, and the fact that he wanted Tomorrowland to play in 15 movie palaces around the country.
Well, that's really cool, Russ. Congratulations on that. That's really neat. Will George Clooney be there?
Well, you never know. I wouldn't probably bet on it, but it's one of those kind of special opportunities that surprising things are going to happen. You're going to get a special ticket if you come that is issued by Disney, the producer of the film.
Free bathtub rides with George Clooney. I've seen in the previews that there is a guide of how to get into a bathtub with George Clooney, and it involves fighting robots of some sort.
Right. Yes. Well, it's about an amulet that kind of takes you to magical places that aren't always safe and fun. But Tomorrowland, again, opens on the 22nd, but on the 21st, you can see it at the Michigan Theater at 7 o'clock. Regular movie prices apply, and those tickets will be on a sale in advance pretty quick. Opening downtown, Wild Tales opens Friday at the State Theater. This was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. It's actually a bunch of short films that was put together by some Spanish producers, including Pedro Almodovar, and they're hilarious. They're a little bit dark. One of the stories is about a guy who ends up being a victim of road rage that just goes on and on and on. It's both violent and hilarious at the same time. The other one is about these people that find themselves on a plane, but they all find themselves on a plane because they were invited by someone who they had made fun of in their youth. There's kind of a tragic outcome there. But these are very fun. Again, nominated for Best Foreign Language Film for this year's Academy Award. Wild Tales opens on Friday. D-Train is a Jack Black vehicle.
I love Jack Black.
Who doesn't? He's very funny.
Yeah.
But he was not a cool guy in high school. But his high school reunion's coming up, and he's gotten to know the most popular guy in his high school, which is played by James Marsden, who's now the national spokesperson for the Banana Moat brand of clothing, I believe.
The cool guy from the high school.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, absolutely. And so they're trying to, he's trying to make sure that he shows up and that he's their buddy, and they're going to go from L.A. to Pittsburgh, where they went to high school. So D-Train opens on Friday at the State Theater as well. One of the films that we showed during the Jewish Film Festival called Get, The Trial of Vivian Amsalem is a really compelling movie that folks really liked. It's actually part of a trilogy, and it's the third film in the trilogy, but you don't have to see the other two films to really appreciate this film. And from a certain kind of cinematic point, it's rather staid because it takes place in a courtroom. But it's this this woman who's been trying for years and years and years to get a divorce from her very contentious and difficult husband. But because her marriage was done in the Jewish faith, and particularly the Orthodox Jewish faith, only rabbis can dissolve the marriage. There's no civil path that she can pursue. So she has to go to this rabbinical court. And there's a lot of just deep humanity in this movie. Get, The Trial of Vivian Amsalem is a glimpse into a cultural dynamic, a glimpse into Israel, but just really a glimpse into the human condition that is really quite amazing. And
all right, we're gonna give you an extra 60 seconds this morning, Russ, but tell us what you got downtown.
Yeah, well, opening up at the Multiplex is okay. Hot Pursuit, which is Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara's film, where they play these two women that are pursued by crooked cops. It's a buddy picture. It's gotten only 14% positive reviews, but Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara are very well reviewed. So lots going on, and our wine and film series continues on Wednesdays, there's always a lot going on at the Michigan Theater, and it's good to talk to you and share Cinema Chat this week.
Thanks, Russ. That was Russ Collins, the What is your, you're the director of the State and Michigan Theaters? That's your official title?
Yeah, that's
title?
A good right. title.
I was going to call you the executive director.
That's but, good too.
All right. How about the CEO?
That works as
the
well.
The guy that sweeps up after everybody leaves?
I'm happy with any time. Right. Manager's good.
This is Cinema Chat. You can hear it every Thursday morning as part of Morning Edition exclusively on 89.1 WEMU.